Thank you very much. I quickly have an assignment for you as a church. You can use your cell phones for it. I love this quote. It says, "Bad company ruins good morals." I want you to find out within 1 minute, what saying is it? Where does it come from? Where did I get the quote from? You've got 1 minute. I've got a reward for those who find it first. Yes. Can you stand up and say that out loud?
Yeah.
See what? Okay, so that is a scripture you're going to learn off by heart this week, okay? I'm preaching this morning on Christian parenting. The 101 of parenting is you as a family need to learn one scripture a month that you as a family have to know. When I wake you at night and say, what is your scripture? You need to quote it. Okay, so start off with 1 Corinthians 15. Bad company ruins good morals. In other words, if you are putting the best you can in your children, they're hanging out with bad company, guess what? You're deleting good upbringing. Okay? So this morning, I just want us to speak on what family is really. What is family? Do you guys who can give me a quick summary of just what family is? You've got a very quiet church. Anybody? What is family? Okay. What else? I saw another hand. Love and acceptance. Close bonding. I want to give you a demonstration of what church is. Family is, not church. I want you all just to clap your hands. Keep clapping. You are not a very obedient family. That is what family is. Family is to be in rhythm with the Spirit of God. We cannot all run our own direction. Who is the leader of a family? A husband. So let's try this again. All just clap. That is family. Family is to be close to each other and that we can pick up the rhythm, the heart of the Father. In Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, it says that Christ has placed before us life and death. And then he asks us, he says, please choose life. Why? For your descendants' sake. So when you are a family trying to follow Christ in every way, it's not for you and your children. It's for your children's children, for your great-grandchildren. To be in tune with Christ is not for you. It's for the lives around you that you're going to affect. Deuteronomy 6, speak to parents firstly. I don't know if you've picked it up ever before. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Why? 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 You're going to find it quickly. Why? Not really. There's a reason. Christ comes to you and me as mommy and daddy, parents to be, spiritual parents. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Because. Find the because for me. You've got 1 minute. No. Go look in the Bible quickly.
Malachi.
Okay, can Jay read the scripture to you?
Yero Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them, your children, diligently.
Why should we love the Lord our God with everything in us? To bring life to other people's lives. First and foremost, our children. Why? So that when my child screams at me, I say, stop, stop, stop. The moral in my household is, no shouting, my darling. Not to me, not to everybody else, ever. If they're swearing in my house, I say, whoa, 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 whoa. You busy with bad company? Am I right? Something's not right? Because you have to be in rhythm with my heart, with the parents' heart. Why? Because Malachi 4 verse 6 says, his preaching will turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the hearts of the children to the parents. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. Do you feel you live in a land that's cursed? Okay. But here's the key of it. We want obedient children. We want to draw them into obedience. But that scripture says, daddies, first turn your hearts. And then their hearts will turn. Why? Because John 15, 16 tells us. The Father comes to us and he says, Jane Jacinta, do you know why you love me? Because I've loved you first. They come to Helmut and Estelle and say, do you know why you guys love me? Because I, Father God, have loved you first. You have responded to my love. He's our daddy. He's our example. But there's something very important in John 15, 16. He says, therefore, go and bear. We can't live a life with bad morals. Saying, I live a Christian life. People need to be drawn to a good smell. It's like cooking food in the kitchen. My kids come down the stairs and say, what are we eating? What are we eating? Oh, it smells good. Then I say, cook your Christianity. May you always be drawn to Christ's hearts because you experience the love and the purposes of our household. Now, I'm going to rock your boats a bit this morning. You know that we get taught it's God first, then our families, and then everything else. Right? Everybody has ever before, if you believe this, lied to you. It's Christ first and then everything else. Because God has called us and he said, I call you to be living sacrifices. So see yourself as a liquid and God is shaking you out, and he says, okay, who needs pouring out of Nordine? Do you need a bit? Do you need a bit? My kids must go sleep now. And, oh no, 7 o'clock. Oh no, sorry, we can't go to cell group. 7 o'clock, my kids sleep. No, you said, Lord, here I am. Take my life. Shake it up. It doesn't have to be easy. And you know what? God gave you children so that you can teach them diligently what it feels like, what it tastes like, what it looks like. So if you have ever believed God, family, then church, I'm sorry. So I pray this morning in the name of Jesus Christ that he will undo that lie, that your children can be the leaders of our churches, the leaders of our nations, because we're teaching our children, no, but my needs first. I'm tired, so I can go to sleep now. I feel dirty, so I can go bath now. No, our kids shouldn't even think about that. They should think, you look sad. Can I pray for you? Are you hungry? Yes, I am, but just hang on a bit. I'm I'm busy with the things of Christ. That is what Jesus did when his parents were looking for him. He said, where were you? He said, I'm about my father's business. Because the family's business is not the most important thing. Okay. Why do God bring hearts and families together? God bring hearts together for his plan and his purposes. You have the children you have for his plan and for his purposes. You are husband and wife for his plan and his purposes. You are in this church as one family for his plans and his purposes and nothing else. Amen. Not for good worship, not for good sermons, not for good friends, only for God's plans and God's purposes. And I quoted the Jeremiah 29:11-13. We all know it. We all know. We know what God plans for us, to prosper us and not to harm us, to bring us blessing and not curses. That's not, I want to open a business and Lord, please bless it because you said that's the good things. No. The good things God plans for us are according to his plans and his purposes in this family. God has placed you, mother, father, whole families in this church. You know what's the amazing thing? I've got a boy that plays rugby, but he's gaga about soccer. I don't know. I don't know how it works. I've tried to figure that out. He's been that since young. He loves soccer, but he's playing rugby. Don't know. Can't make that sum. Okay. So I know some soccer because of him. And I know one very good player called Messi. Okay. Now, I watch soccer because of Daniel. I have no idea what's going on there. Okay? But then he will say to me, Mom, this is the best soccer player. And you watch him. And he checks his partner. And they kick. And they have certain signs. And they amazing team. And then they take Messi and put him in the Bafana soccer match. And he's like, zero on a contract. What's going on here? He is the world's best player. He's not playing with his team because he's not in rhythm with the look, with the sounds, with the body language. God places you in a body of Christ, in a family, because you understand each other's hearts. And the hearts are tuned to each other. What is the product of that? On the board, to serve each other, to give and receive, to share with each other, and to care for each other. Always, always, always remember this. Other people's needs are always more important than your own. Always. If your child is sick, and your neighbor is sick, you will take your sick child, go ministering to your neighbor. And I know what I'm saying now is very difficult because we've always been taught differently. But I can honestly say our kids are 12 and 16 and we've lived it. It works. They will never moan. They will never complain because something is uncomfortable for them. They're teenagers, so we will hear it sometimes, but we're like, who are you following? Who are we following? Okay, that's it. Okay, so when we as Christians decided to follow Christ, what has happened? We've become a new creation in Christ. In other words, I'm going to walk in front of the screen. I was this Nordine that everybody knew, okay? And then something happened called salvation. During salvation, what happens? God gave me a new heart, right? Has changed my heart of rock into a heart of flesh. So I'm a new creation of Christ. He has taken me from a very dark place to a very light place. It's always so interesting. People always testify and say, I led somebody to, and their whole face has changed. Yes, that's scriptural. They were dark, they're now light. They've come into a different world. So in order for us to disciple our children, we need to be reminded that we are a new creation in Christ. Therefore, we cannot do the things the world does. Okay? I love that scripture that says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard. What is that standard? Put up your hand. Put up your hand. You have to put up your hand. That is a command, not a question. You are that standard. God wants to take you and say, enemy, you're welcome. You're welcome, enemy, because she's my standard. She will not do it according to the world. She will do it according to the word. She will not do it according to how I feel. She will do it according to the Spirit of God. So before we carry on, let's just look again what it means to be a new creation in Christ. Colossians 3 verse 5, it says, have nothing to do with sexual immorality. We don't speak about it. We don't joke about it. Nothing. Impurity, lust, and evil desires. And I always use this example because parents are often worried that they are busy with things that is going to have an impact on their children. Then I say, oh, don't worry. For instance, if you are watching pornography, lust will manifest in your household. So just look at the manifestation of your households so that you know what you need to get in line, okay? Don't be greedy, okay? Don't plan for your newest car. Don't plan for the raise of your finances. Because what the heart is full of, how do I know what is in somebody's heart? Okay? It comes out. So when you hear yourself saying, I wish I could have this, I wish I could have this. Oh, I'm greedy. Okay, God, please deliver me. Watch out for that. Don't be greedy. Get rid of anger. Okay, that's a command. It says, it doesn't say the, please church, it would be brilliant if you could. It says, get rid of anger. Get rid of rage. Get rid of malicious behavior and get rid of dirty language. My son is now in that phase where he uses certain words. Then we say, no man. He says, no, but it's not swearing. Only God's word is swearing. Where do they get that? The world says it. Then I said, no. Colossians 3, 5. Go read it. It says, dirty language. Okay? If MC Skuman was here, she would have agreed with me. There are certain words that we do not use, not even in Afrikaans, because it's dirty language. It says, don't lie to each other. You and I are in a family. Okay? Don't lie to each other. As a mother and a father, it sounds like this. Boomalar comes to you and he says, please, can you give me money? What do you normally say? Be honest. Ek het die geld nie. Sorry, I don't have money. You're lying. You do. Okay? So all you do is you say to him, sorry, I don't want to give to you. Where's Mika? I did it this week and she said to me, you're rude. I said, I'm not. I'm honest. I said to him, you're drunk. If you asked me food, I would have bought you food, but you asked me money. I don't want to give you money. Don't lie to each other. Don't lie to your husband. Don't lie to your children. Wives, don't buy shoes and your husband says, oh, where do you get those shoes from? Oh, I bought it long ago. You're lying. How much did it cost? More or less 200. No, it was 2,000 rand. Tell him the truth. Don't lie at each other. It says, become like him. There's a scripture, I think it's in Genesis 4, Genesis 6, that it says, God made man and woman to be like him. Become like him. Nothing like the world. Okay? God forgave you, so you need to forgive others. Okay? I wanted to give you an example of unforgiveness, but unforgiveness puts you in bondage and you won't get all the above mentioned things right. None of it. You will not get it right because unforgiveness will bind your heart. It will bind your thoughts. It will give you a rock hard heart. And you cannot receive from Christ. You cannot receive from your pastor. You cannot receive from your cell leader. And you're going to ooze bitterness at the end. So that's why he says, forgive others. And do you know that forgiveness works like a scale? God puts a scale out and he says, okay, Nordine, who did you forgive? And I pack out all my names and all the circumstances. He says, okay, I can equal that for you. That is what we pray. Please, Lord, let us forgive those as you forgive us. This is scale. Lord, please forgive my sin. He goes, speak to the hand, please. I want you, my son, I want you, my daughter, to forgive wholeheartedly in order to love me. Okay? And then how does a Christian household work? We forget that sometimes. It's a very simple structure. Colossians 4, wives, submit to husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Wives, how do you want to submit to Christ? How obedient do you want to be to Christ? Wives, is there any wife here? How obedient do you want to be to Christ? To the point of death. Am I right? Ouch, I know. But that is our responsibility. Okay? Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Never. Not a harsh word, not a harsh comment, not a harsh look. Okay, that's more I know. I can do obedient better. Husbands, the responsibility you have is very heavy. Christ has called you as a man and as a husband because he knew you can do it. You've got it in you. You've got the blueprint of God's DNA within you. Feed yourself with the Word of God so that husbands and wives obediently can do according to the Word. Children, always obey your parents. When do kids obey their parents? When do kids obey their parents? Can I hear it? 1, 2, 3.
Always.
In other words, if I say to my 5-year-old, you sit still and you don't move, we don't understand obedience. So we don't know how to portray obedience. That means she never moves from there until I say so. Even if you're busy training her 5 Sundays in a row not to move because I said so. What I left out in that part, it says, children always obey your parents as this pleases Christ. Now, this past holiday, we went for 2 weeks to Shofar Pretoria, and they and Shofar Pretoria and Shofar Joburg had a combined marriage enrichment seminar, which we did. That's why we went up to present it, Mac and myself. And the kids were like, we were friends, and they're difficult, and they're moaning about. And I said, you know what? I can't wait for you to be disobedient. I cannot wait for it. And they're like, why? I said, because I want to be obedient to Christ. And he said, I should disciple and discipline you. So I can't wait for you to be disobedient so I can discipline you and be obedient to Christ. Good as a charm. Had no problem. Because all of a sudden my kids clicked. Mommy's not trying to be difficult. Daddy's not trying to be difficult. We are being Christ-like parents, okay? Now, I know it's challenging and you have a congregation with, I can see much older kids and much younger kids. But I can say that when you raise obedient children, it is such a blessing, okay? God's heart is for families. How do we know that? Because He wants to bless families up to the, how many generations? Thousandth generation. He says, okay, and if parents don't want to be obedient and follow me, I'm going to curse them in the third and fourth generation. Where's God's heart? His heart is for families. Because he says, if you follow me, mommy and daddy, if you're going to teach your children diligently, whatever you invest, whatever I invest in Daniel, whatever I invest in Micah, I'm busy investing for the next 1,000 generations because they're going to multiply that. God's heart is exactly the same. That is why we have amazing testimonies this morning. God is busy reproducing a new generation because they are going they're going to blow the people around them away with their testimonies and bring life so that God can bless those families for a thousand generations again. That is how we know God's heart is for family. God wants to bring everlasting change in my life. It's never for me. It's for my children, for my children's children, for their children, and for thousands of generations. That's it. So we can't even boast in our testimonies because God had my great-grandchildren in mind. Okay? Think of the first scripture again. It says, I place before you life and death. Please choose life. Why? So that your descendants can be blessed. He says to parents, please do the right thing. Please do the right thing because my heart is for everybody behind you that is going to follow. Okay. If you bring up your children in a godly manner, it's going to affect generations, not only yours. Your children will affect other families. Okay. Okay. So, I quickly want the mothers to turn to the fathers and look them in the eye. If you're not yet a daddy, you're going to be a daddy. Whether you raise spiritual children or your own children, look your husband in his eye. Left one, please. And say to him, you're a good daddy. You mess up sometimes, but you're a good daddy. Because God has called you to be one. Okay. So this morning I actually more fervently want to speak to the fathers. Why? Because a father gives identity to his children, not a mother. Very shocking. Why? Why did I receive a new identity? Why did I become a new person? Because my father said, do as I do. There's an identity. I'm going to show you, you're going to do. I'm going to speak to you, you're going to apply. Daddies, that's your job, okay? Mommies do that normally. But daddies, that is your job, okay? Daddies give identity to their children. A father's voice gives direction, okay? My mom is now in hospital for quite a few years, quite a few weeks already, but I know my father's voice so well. I know when he's irritated. I know when he speaks and it's an order, and his voice is, for those of you who know the temperament, he's a solid pine. So his voice always sounds the same. Very monotone, very unemotional. But I know, I'm speaking to you as your father voice. You need to do this now. I know that voice of, I'm speaking as your father, I need your support. A father's voice gives direction, okay? So if a father's voice gives direction, we need to speak about three things this morning. Your spirit, how to build your child's spiritual identity, sexual identity, and social identity. Okay? And fathers, you only actually have to do five things. I wrote it down there. You need... Your children need to know that they are precious, highly esteemed, worthy, bought by the blood of Christ, and loved by Jesus. Okay? Why is that? Because when I watched Daniel and Mac this week again, even when Mac reprimands Daniel, I can see in my son's eyes, he knows you're precious, you're highly esteemed, you're worthy, but... you're not in line. Okay? And that is direction. It's not abuse. Nothing that your child does and doing wrong is supposed to disappoint you. Why do we have children? So that they can be perfect. No. They are going to disappoint you. It comes with a package deal. Okay? Why do people in church backslide? Because we think we bulletproof in church. We as a church family, look at the people around you. You need to start praying for them. Because here's the Father's voice. Get up. Here is the Father's voice. Okay? That is how family works. So this Father's voice needs to give direction. And you need to, as a family, look after each other and say, don't backslide on me. I'm going to pray for you. What is going on in your life? Okay? We're not bulletproof. We live in the world. We can't live as from the world. We're still in it. We still have exactly the same temptations, the righteous and the unrighteous. So we have to look after each other. We have to share. We have to take care of each other. Okay? And it's not about what we accomplish and don't accomplish. It's just because God has got a plan and a purpose, and that's why we're together. What is the role of a husband in a household? It's all on the board, so you can just read it off. King? What else? Prophet? Priest?
Judge.
Brilliant. JJ is a good reader. Okay? So we cannot, fathers and mothers, you cannot say to your children, you're not worthy. You'll amount to nothing. You're the difficult one. You always just cause problems in our life. Why? What does a prophet do? Tell me, what does a prophet do? What else? In the Old Testament, what did the old prophets do, the Old Testament prophets? They only spoke what Christ told them. That's all they could have done. Jesus says, I can only say what my? Okay, that's what prophecy is. We cannot think out things. We have to know that we're in tune with the Word of God to say the things God says. Okay? So prophecy is not to say to your children, oh, you're going to be a great businessman, you're going to be... No, we have to tell them what the Word of God says. That's a true prophet. But often we as parents, we get so caught up in the worldly ways that we become false prophets. And we say, you're not worthy. You're the difficult one. You're not going to make it in life. And when a father fulfills those roles in a household, I am 1,000% convinced when your child gets bullied at school, there's a voice that's going to speak from behind into this child's head. What is he going to hear? You're worthy. You're highly esteemed. You're bought by Christ. And you know what? Your child should turn around and say, "Ja, jok, ek is nie so nie." Why? Because daddy's voice is in his head. Our voices will remain in our kids' heads for very long. Who still hears your father in your head? Who still hears your mother in your head? We have such a valuable input. Make sure it counts to build them and not break them. I see with my son's friends whose fathers specifically break them down, they cannot stand against the onslaughts. It's impossible. Because there's nothing in them that says, Daddy believes in me. God says, He gave me this new heart. But I see that the teenagers who, with clear direction, and when I say direction, biblical direction, they stand against all the onslaughts of the enemy. And you know, a teenager, they fall and then they stand strong. And they fall and that's fine, because that is how we grow spiritually as well. I had a very interesting thing. I asked a few of my son's friends, and if this goes onto internet, you need to edit this, please, because if they listen to the sermon, they will never trust me again. I asked my son's friends, just give me the two things you would love your daddy to speak to you about. Guess what it is? Sex and finances. What are the two things daddies most likely don't speak to their sons about? Okay? So in other words, those boys are telling me, I need to hear my daddy's voice when I make certain decisions. I need to know I'll be strong enough against the onslaughts of the enemy. Fathers, you need to establish your kid's sexual identity, okay? The only reason why it's important for us to have these conversations is because the world says to be homosexual. Joyce, editor, told me a while ago that whenever they put pictures in a magazine of a gay couple, they need to look happy, otherwise they can't publish it. They are portraying it. They are telling us it's better. This is a better option, okay? And that is why we have to build our children's sexual identity. Why? Because God says, man and woman, He made us. And normally we stop there. But I want to just fill out the small script. God has never been confused when He created you, man and woman. Never. There was no confusion. So God didn't have in mind that Nordine will have desires later in her life to be a man. It's not according to God's plan and purposes for my life. It's the plan and purposes of the enemy to confuse me, to create in me a warp identity so that I can always be insecure, don't know where I'm going. Okay? And I just want to, with that, say, we're not going to judge them. Because the Word of God teaches us we are supposed to judge each other, but we're not allowed to judge the world. And I think we got it all the way wrong, wrong way around. We keep quiet when we see sin and wrongdoing, but we judge those outside. Okay? So as a family, make a decision. We're not going to make comments with what we see. We're going to pray for them for new identity in Christ. Okay? Because I know that they say, according to research, that because there's a confusion and absence of daddy in the household, okay? But you know what? We won ahead of the enemy because the Word of God says He's the father to the fatherless and the lifter of their heads. Okay? So when you pray, pray with insight, pray with the Word of God, okay? So sexual identity needs to be cemented by fathers. You don't want to raise mommy's boys. What is the product of a mommy boy? Only that there was an absent father that didn't fulfill his role, okay? So, and obviously you need to, daddy, be the first person to have the conversation about sex to your children. Mommy can sit in, but it's not mommy's responsibility, not even to the girls. Okay? I want to share you now what happened with us, but it's very funny, and I won't say it over the mic. But when Mac had the conversation with our children. Okay, and then fathers and mothers, but fathers, you need to take the lead here. You need to build your children's social identity. Okay? You have to teach your children how to behave in public, where to run and where not to run, where to speak and where not to speak. Okay? We are in reaction of the way we grew up. Okay? Children were seen and not heard. So we decided our kids will have an opinion and they can speak it out at all times. But what does God's Word say? The golden highway. I discovered only in June that Wits University had a research, and according to their statistics, the influence on a child's life from a dad is 83%. The influence from a mom's influence on a child's life is only 17%. The enemy had us by the throat all these years. Okay? We need to put God's stamp on our children for the generations to come. Choose life for your descendants' sake. Okay? Just on practical stuff, it's a question parents ask me. When is appropriate age for my children to sleep out? I only have two questions. Can your child handle fear and anger? If they can handle it, not understand it, handle it, they're ready to sleep out. Why? You don't know what's going on in another household. That mommy and daddy might have extreme marital challenges. Now your child goes and sleeps over. They have an extreme fight and anger, fear of anger creeps in. So the enemy comes and takes an idea of authority and plants a complete different seed in your child's life. When that person speaks, I should listen, whether it's right or wrong, because I never want to hear, see, or experience this, right? The other thing, when you pedophiles, what do you think is the instrument they use in children's lives? Fear. If you tell your mommy or daddy, I'm going to kill you. If your child cannot handle fear or anger, they cannot sleep out. That is even until the teenage years. Daniel went to a party last night. I said to him, give me 3 reasons why I should be worried. He said nothing. I said, you can't go. I don't know what you are going to come against, and you can't handle it. You didn't think of the stuff ahead. And we as a church should start thinking like that. Friend phoned me this week from Kenton Park. Husband didn't have work for 4 years, and now a company in Scotland headhunted him. He is going to go for a job. And she's over the moon and praise Jesus. And I said, wait. What are the 3 things you should be worried about? She's nothing. I said, then you can't go. You're not resilient spiritually to face this. She's not doing your mind. I said, it's very heavy spiritual atmosphere. Are you aware of that? No, I'm not. You're not going to make it. There's no church and there's no fellowship. Will you trust God in South Africa to provide for you, or will you go to a dark place where greed is going to swallow you in? And that is the decisions we have to make as adults. And that is why we have to teach it to our children, okay? Fear paralyzes, but Holy Spirit empowers. Okay? So we cannot allow fear to direct our footsteps. That is why God in His scripture says, God will direct your footsteps. Money cannot direct our footsteps. Success cannot direct our footsteps. Only the Word of God can direct our footsteps. Okay? Skip that one. Then we have to build our children's emotional identity. Because, especially in the Afrikaans community, cowboys don't cry. Am I right? Men are allowed to show emotion to your children. I've got a beautiful story. Friends of ours had a little sausage dog. And everybody loved this sausage dog. You know a sausage dog? You buy it by the meter. Okay. And the sausage dog, the kids went to school this morning and somebody drove accidentally over the sausage dog. So the father just decided, well, Deline is good at it. She's going to share with the kids. And so Albert phoned home and said, I'm not coming in for lunch, because he knows now everybody's crying. He doesn't do that. So late afternoon, 4-5-ish, they're farmers, his eldest boy phoned him and said, Dad, where are you? No, I'm close to the house. Don't you want to pick me up? And he thought, oh, thank goodness, Deline comforted the kids, and he sounds fine. But this little sausage dog always used to be with the daddy on the farm, in the bucky. So the eldest son got in and he says, where's Fluffy? Can't remember the dog's name. And then he realized she didn't tell him. Now he tells the story and says, if women can just click what they're supposed to do. And he says, well, your mother didn't tell you, did she? She didn't tell you. And he said, he's irritated. And he says, what? And he said, for the first time in his life, he pulled off the road and he said, him and his son wept for an hour about a dog. He said, but what his son didn't realize is he was weeping because his father passed away 20 years ago and his mother is poor and suffering. Because all of a sudden, those emotions came out. So men are allowed to show emotions to their children. We should teach our children that they shouldn't be scared of emotions. You know why? The enemy uses people to use their emotions to manipulate us, so we're scared of emotions. Our children should be comfortable with our emotions and how to handle it, our crying and how to handle it. Okay? Don't teach your children that emotions are based on fear. So when you're scared, you're allowed to show emotion and say, I'm scared. When I'm insecure, I'm allowed to do that. Then we teach them based on fear. Emotions is based on joy, on happiness, on sadness. There's a time and a place for everything. Okay? Emotions are that which we feel and think. We need to have self-control over that. And that is why we have to be comfortable with showing our emotions. Because we need to teach our children to have self-control over that. Why? Because they should identify it in our lives. You can't have your youngest, everybody tiptoeing around them. Mommy says, just give him what he wants, otherwise he's going to throw a tantrum. No. We're teaching him to have self-control. We're teaching, stop your tantrum. Now, let's try this again. Stop your tantrum, okay? And just remember, we're teaching our children to obedience. They're not obedient children instantly, okay? Fathers have authority, so they're not there to dominate, but to bring direction and to lead. Okay? That is why daddies are there. We are called, you and I as adults, we are called for the next generation. Why? Because, say, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up me. Okay? I'm going to say it, you're going to say the rest. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up
me.
Because you're the standard. The church is the standard, okay? Psalm 144 verse 12 says, may our sons flourish in their youth like well-nurtured plants. Ah! Think of an orchid. I never, never want to nurture anybody's orchid, ever. It's too much work. God says, may your sons be like that. An orchid is that thing that everybody wants. They pay a lot of money for it. Because they know there's a certain temperature, certain amount of sunlight, certain type of soil. There's specifics to it. And that is what God expects of us. Bring your sons up so that everybody wants it. Why? Because people will know this family, they put everything in. The correct soil, the correct sunlight, the correct temperature. But now listen here. May our daughters be like graceful pillars carved to a beautiful palace. Now I don't know about you, but carving sounds harsher than nurturing to me. Am I right? Don't you think we've turned it around quite a bit? We did more nurturing with the girlies and more carving with the boys. Why do we need more carving with the girls? Why? Hey? One of it, yeah. That's it. If you allow your daughter to back chat to your sons, to you, or to your wife, that's exactly what she's going to do to her husband one day, and he's going to have a problem. Okay, so we have a household rule. Mika, whenever she becomes cheeky, I say, stop it. And then she goes, why? Because I'm doing your husband a favor. No cheekiness. No back chat. Okay, sons have to be nurtured that they're going to be leaders one day. So what does that mean? When your children, you raise them up. When your children get to the age of 12, in our cultures, we want to do the barbaraka. We want to celebrate the sonship, the daughtership. Okay? But here's the practical side on it. When your son, let's say, turns 13 to your house, in your household, he should know all his responsibilities, how to work in his household. He should know that you're no longer a guest in this house. So when you leave your cup there, you take it to the sink. When you take off your shoes here, you pick it up, you take it to your room. Why? Because we cannot celebrate them spiritually if we have not imprinted something of responsibility in them. Okay? They're not going to know how to follow Christ if we don't teach them those practical things. Okay? At the age of 13, if you give them pocket money, you don't say yes, your pocket, you open a bank account. You teach him how to set out a budget. Okay? So it works like this. If you give your son and daughter 100 rand a month, and they have spent 50 rand, I want all the slips and proof of the 50 rand. Otherwise, you can't get the full 100 for next month. Are you with me? That is being stewards of what God gives us. Estelle wants me to repeat that. If Mac gives me 100 rand and for a month, and I save 50 and use 50, I need to give him proof of the 50 rand I've spent. It works in any company like that. Okay? So when we teach our children that, can you imagine what good stewards they're going to be on every level of their lives, even spiritually? We have to practice that, okay? You have to teach your sons. That's the only... I always ask my kids, at the age of 12, listen to this shocking statistic. At the age of 12, your child knows exactly what type of man or woman he or she wants. Exactly. That is, you need to give direction. We have put a filter on Mika's mind. So when she was a little girl, she asked, how will I know if I've met my husband? And I quickly would have said, Jesus and Daddy are going to help you. That's it. They're going to say yes or no. She still thinks like that. She will even go to her daddy. Daddy, I like that boy the way he speaks to his mommy. She picks it up because she checks now with daddy, because daddy gives direction. Okay? Now, on finances, I quickly just want to go back to the daughters. I see, don't lie to each other in congregation, but also not in marriages. It's because we didn't teach our daughters how to run a household, how to run a budget, okay? So we have a family tradition. When Mika goes to grade 10, stand 8, 9, and 10, I'm going to give her our household budget. She's going to work out the menus that has to fit our budget, and she has to take me shopping that we go buy those things for 3 years. Do you think she'll be able to run a financial household one day? Because we study to become doctors and lawyers and nurses and teachers. Who's going to teach us to practically apply the principles and the Word of God? Us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, so that you diligently can teach your children. Go read that Deuteronomy 6. It says, when you stand up and lie down, put the scriptures on your doorposts. Speak about it all the time. In other words, put the radio off and let's disciple you. What is in your spirit? What is bothering you? And bring it into perspective for them. The other thing is, your son, there are only two types of women. Go read through Proverbs. The wise one and the one that lures her into his arms. Which one do you want your son to choose? Okay, so go read through Proverbs and teach your sons how to choose a wise woman. Okay, then when our daughters are like pillars, go read Titus 2. It says the older woman should teach the younger ones. Okay, so it means like this. We've got Kumi in our church at Shofar Stellenbosch. Most people know her. Then Karen is laughing. I'm very naughty. Sundays I stand next to Kumi and I say, look at that young man's pants. What do you think? She gives me the whole Monty. She gives me exactly what she thinks. Okay? And if the little girls, the teenagers come in with a bra strap showing with a shoestring, she goes, what's D? What's D? Sis, it's a bra waistnie. That is having the older ones teaching the younger ones. Because daddy, mommy, you and I got used to underwear showing. Not on. Not godly. Why not? The Word of God says, whatever we do shouldn't be a stumbling block to the unsaved. We should be the standard. Okay? That is why our daughters should be like carved pillars in a palace. Stylish. Not see-through, too tight pants. I don't know Why? Explain to me quickly, why do we as godly, spirit-filled people want to wear t-shirts with a tight? It's ungodly. It's ungodly. Okay? I know I'm stepping on toes, but somewhere we have to tell each other there's a different standard. The world buys and sells, we sow and reap. The world says we should drive success. The kingdom says lay down your life, being the least. The world says Dale owe me money, so let me take him to court for that 1,000 rand. What does the word of God says? If you lend somebody money, give it to them. Don't ask it back. We've got a different standard of living, church, in our families and in our churches. And God is calling us to sharpen up. Okay? We can't live like this anymore. I don't know if you know the story of the salmon. Do you know the story of the salmon? The salmon swim stream up once in their life. Okay? They get birth. I was born in Ceres. Okay? I grew up in the Kaubooka Veld. So once in my life, if I was a salmon, I would swim stream up against all odds. In other words, huge waterfalls coming down, salmon will be swimming upstream for one specific purpose, to go lay eggs in the place, exact place where they were born and die. That's the gospel. That's you and my calling. If we want to get involved in Christian parenting, Christian family, God calls you and me to swim upstream, to lay eggs and die, because new life will get born from us. We as a church should follow leader. Why? We want to fight this thing. God appoints leadership. It's simple as that. Okay, we want to beat and bash against the way our government is run. Show me a good government in the Bible. Not even David was always a good king. God appoints leaders and he asks us to submit. And skip that one, we're not going to do it. I want to close in this amazing story. 2 Kings 5 verse 1. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. So he was a good general in the army. Okay, guy, I even want to fight for me. Naaman was a mighty warrior. He suffered from leprosy. Okay, so he was a sick man. He was a strong leader, but he was a sick man. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. Okay, I want to make it very visualized for you. Go read it even in the Afrikaans Bible. It says, a young girl. What is a young girl in your mind? 12, 13, young girl, 14, okay? In Afrikaans it says, dochterkie. Okay, young, a young girl. Here comes Naaman and his men. A mom and her little girl, Mika and I. We're walking down the street. We're on our way to Checkers. Here comes a man on his horse, if you know anything of horse riding. Bend down, grab my little girl, put her on the horse, and there she is. What is that called in today's life? Human trafficking. Okay? 2 Kings, 5. Human trafficking took place. It's not a new thing. Okay? A young girl had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. Okay? New Living Translation, it says, as a slave. So Naaman took this girl in the street from the mother, went to his wife and said, you asked me for a servant girl. She's going to clean your loo, cook your food, clean your house, make your bed. There you go. This is exactly what you wanted. Okay? One day, the girl said to her mistress, pay attention, I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria who would heal him of his leprosy. So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. Carry on with the slideshow. I want you to keep it there. What do you see? A cruel man breaking up a godly family. Is that what you see? Let me tell you what I saw that brought me to complete complete tears. This girl's parents taught her how to honor people in authority. Read verse 3 again. The girl said to her mistress, I wish my master. Ek wens so, meneer sal besef. I wish. Okay? Her parents grew up, told her, okay, how to honor people in of authority. Her parents taught her that the things of God are far more important than an abduction. Why? She said, I wish my master, I just want the best for him. I realize he's my master, he's my leader now, and I just want the best for him. I wish he wants to, he want to go back to Israel, because there's a prophet, and the place I'm from, this is what she's saying, the place I'm from, when you're sick, people lay hands on you, you get healed. I wish he wants to go back, because people will pray for him. And God will heal him. Now, if you carry on, Naaman went to the king. The king said, oh, no, really? I'm going to give you a letter of recognition and gifts and go, go. Now, I'll be very honest. If my daughter get abducted, I know she will be so nervous, she will cry a dilly off. This girl said, no ways. I've got a God I serve. My parents brought me up in the ways of Christ. I know he's got a problem. Shame the poor thing. I just wish healing for him. Okay? The parents taught this little girl to stand strong through the storms of life. Do you remember that movie, The Perfect Storm? That is exactly what the enemy does with you and me. He says, check. Check, there's a perfect storm. Here comes the tsunami. You know what tsunamis do? They kill people. They're going to take you and your family out. So now you need to give in. You need to do the wrong thing here. You need to do the worldly thing here because the world pressurizes. You get pressure from the world. You get pressurized. Okay? You need to give in because this storm is going to destroy you. But we know better than the enemy because George Clooney plays in another movie after that. And that is how we know the enemy is a liar. He cannot take us out. Because God calls us to stand strong in the storms, even from a very young age. Our kids don't have to get what they want. It makes them strong. They don't have to wear name brand clothes. They don't have to have iPads and tablets. They don't have to have cell phones. They don't have to. Who told us they have to? We have to teach them to stand strong. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your life. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your children's life. Okay? I always say to my Mika, she gets very nervous in life. She's nervous about school. She's nervous about friends. And I constantly have to remind her, go find out for mommy why Jesus created you. Far more important than school. We cannot drive our children to 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever is good enough for you to accomplish in school or in sport. Make sure your hearts are turned to your children for God's plan and for God's purposes. When you are in this church, you're part of this family, make sure you part here for God's plan and for God's purposes. There's a scripture that says, don't be hirelings in the house of God. Be laborers. My kids can't be hirelings in my household. So therefore, you as a family have to be laborers in the house of Christ. How does God build his kingdom? With living stones. Am I right? Who are the living stones? It's you and me. It's all he builds with. He doesn't build with money, with stone. He builds with us saying, I want to multiply salvation for generations to come. Why do you invite people to your family? Because you want to say, I've got beautiful kids and I'm proud of my husband and you'll enjoy it in our family. Same reason you invite people to church. This is my brother. This is my brother Dale. He's the serious one. His wife, she's a Jesus freak. And we should be comfortable with that. Okay. I don't know them that well, just by the way. We should be comfortable with that. And bring people in and say, this is my brother and my sister. They're living stones. God builds with them. They were willing that God pours them out as a living sacrifice. No longer I that live, Lord, but you that live in me. And we have to teach our children the same principle. Can we stand, please? God has given you a mommy and a daddy as well. Am I right? God has planted you in this family and He's given you a mommy and a daddy. Can I ask, who's the mommy and daddy in this house? Hold. No mommy and daddy. No mommy and daddy. Who's the mommy and daddy of this household?
JJ.
Are you the daddy? Children, who's your daddy?
JJ.
Who is your daddy?
JJ.
I stand in the hooky. Okay, can the daddy come forward, please? The daddy that gives direction. Where's the daddy? Daddy, come forward, please. The daddy that gives direction, that God has appointed as the king, the judge, the prophet. Okay? Where's the mommy of this household? Right next to the daddy. Why is there a mommy in a household?
Ondersteuning te bied vir die vader.
Om a?
Ondersteuning te bied vir die vader.
Okay. What did Holy Spirit come and do for us on earth? Why did Jesus say He's leaving? To comfort. To remind us of the truth. To help us. Where was Holy Spirit when the earth was created? I heard it from Cornel Becker the other day. It was amazing. Hovering over the darkness. That's why we fall over after we've given our, not always, it's not a recipe, our lives to the Lord. Because Holy Spirit is hovering. I'm ready for this one. Where are the living stones? Where are the ones that can breathe life? I'm hovering. Oh, yes, I can touch Him now. And that is what mommies are doing. They're hovering over their children so that daddy can give direction and the voice can lead. So I want you as a church this morning to come and lay your hands on mommy and daddy and pray blessing over them. And anoint them. I know you've done it before the service, but I really want you to surround them and see them as a mom and daddy and start caring for each other. Start saying, don't backslide on me. Where are you? Be honest. Are you busy with rage? Are you busy with malicious behavior? Are you busy with dirty language? What are you busy with? Because you're not going to bail out as a living stone. Okay. So, Father, this morning, I just want to bless this congregation, Father. I pray in Jesus' name that your face will shine over them as a family, as the De Tijger family, Father. I pray, Father, that as this mommy and daddy lead, that they will follow, but not only follow, Father, but that they will experience your blessing, Father, in Jesus' name. That each individual that you've planted within this family will grow. That they will be like trees that flourishes. Father, I pray that they will hear your voice and that they will follow you obediently in Jesus' name. And Father, we just want to come and bless this mommy and daddy of the congregation.